Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 17.
A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up by God to his throne. The woman fled to the desert, to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now come the salvation of the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, all you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to a place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth a serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obeyed God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Hey, please leave your Bibles open there as we look at Revelation 12, a fairly normal kind of a Christmas passage. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we pray that you would guide us as we reflect on the victory that you achieved when you sent your Son. Quieten our hearts and minds. Give us much light into your word. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of the time when we think about Christmas, about the Christmas story itself, we think about the peaceful birth of a baby, born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. And along with that, we think about maybe shepherds being sung to by angels in the fields. If our timeline's wrong, we might think about 3 wise men coming and giving presents in the stable. But most of the time, when we think about Christmas, we think about the peaceful account of Jesus' birth. But if that's the only way that we view the Christmas story, we're only seeing one camera angle on a much, much bigger event. Now, in a moment, up on the screen, I'm going to get Tamara to put some images of a 3-piece metal sculpture. This is called the Penrose Triangle. Has anybody seen one of these? Okay, don't tell us what the secret is. Now, if you look at that, it's just a 3-piece metal sculpture. Looks simple enough. There's only 3 pieces to it welded together. Looks simple enough until you realize that it's coming from all different angles and it looks impossible for it to be so many different directions at the same time. But that's because we're only seeing it from one camera angle. Now I'm going to show you the trick. When it looked like we were seeing it from that other camera angle, we had no idea what was going on behind. It looked like all three pieces were joined in multiple different directions. When we saw the next camera angle, well, what was right in front of our eyes became even more clear. And that's exactly what Revelation 12 is doing to the Nativity. As I mentioned last week, each year we put up Nativity scenes to remember the birth of Jesus. But most of our Nativity scenes picture Jesus' entry into the world as this wonderful, peaceful event. Birth of a baby in a stable on a peaceful night, and then him being laid in a manger with shepherds and angels celebrating. It's usually pictured as such a peaceful event that the well-known Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, even says, "No crying he makes." And that does sound peaceful, doesn't it? But Revelation 12 provides a very different camera angle on these events and gives us an insight into the war that was being waged in the spiritual realm as Jesus entered our world. So this morning, as we look at what God did for us when he sent his son, we'll see firstly that God went into battle for us. Secondly, that Satan has been defeated. And thirdly, that God will protect and keep all those who trust in him. And so firstly, the good news of Christmas is that God went into battle for us. When Jesus entered our world, two amazing miracles took place. The first was a young virgin giving birth to a child. The second was the Ancient of Days, the pre-existent God, the creator of the universe, entered the world as a little tiny helpless baby. And these things took place to make salvation possible for those who trust in Jesus. But behind the scenes, in the spiritual realm, God was going into battle for us. At every step of God's plan of salvation, Satan, the adversary, waged war against God's plan. In Revelation 12, Satan is pictured as a big red dragon, and then later as a serpent. In the Garden of Eden, Satan was also pictured as a serpent, as he deceived Adam and Eve by encouraging them to question God's goodness. And sadly, they listened to the serpent instead of God. And sin, brokenness, and separation from God entered our world. Now, if that was the end of the story, if that's where it all ended, all we'd be left with is brokenness, heartache, and pain. But at that first Christmas, God went into battle for us. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Being clothed with the sun symbolizes God's protection being over this woman. And the 12 stars symbolizes the special place that she holds in God's kingdom. We might be tempted to jump to the conclusion this is speaking about Mary, but this isn't speaking about her specifically, although she is included. The woman here pictures all those who trust in Jesus. And that's why this great and wondrous sign is the same sign that Isaiah 7 speaks about, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." But as this great and wondrous sign was given, an enormous red dragon was lying in wait to devour the son. The color of this red dragon symbolizes its murderous intent. The 10 horns and powerful tail symbolize its strength. And the 7 crowns symbolizes his authority and power over the kingdom of darkness. This was an incredibly dangerous foe. But despite the presence of the dragon, God was not worried, because the adversary was no match for him. As the woman gave birth to a son, the dragon was unable to devour him, because the child was snatched up and protected by God the Father and all his angels, as God sent his son to the place that he had prepared for him and his mother. And we read about these events from an earthly perspective in Matthew chapter 2. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Satan was ready and waiting to disrupt God's plan of salvation. The good news of Christmas is that God went into battle for us. Secondly, the good news of Christmas is that Satan has been defeated. As the red dragon fought against God, the angel Michael and all of the angels under his command fought back. The dragon and his demons no doubt fought with incredible fierceness, but they were simply no match for God's angels. And so Satan and his demons were cast out of heaven. This victory was won as Jesus entered our world to defeat the power of sin, death, and the devil. And as he died on the cross and rose again to pay for our sins. So the good news of Christmas isn't just that a Savior has been born, but also that Satan has been defeated because Jesus entered our world. What this means for us is that if we have faith in Jesus, we no longer need to fear death. We no longer need to despair when we fail to live up to God's way. And we don't need to live in fear of Satan, because sin, death, and the devil were defeated because Jesus entered our world. And thirdly, the good news of Christmas is that God will protect and keep all those who trust in him. When the dragon saw that he and his demons had been cast out of heaven forever, they pursued the woman, seeking vengeance, remembering that this woman symbolizes those who trust in the Lord. However, God protected them and kept them safe. Satan, though, waged another attack, spewing water like a river to overtake them, those who trust in the Lord, to throw them away like a torrent. This spewing out of water appears to be speaking of a great persecution coming upon God's people. But once again, God protected them and kept them safe. Dragon, now realizing that he'd been defeated, was enraged at the woman, and so he went off to go and make war against the rest of her offspring. We're told who they are in these verses. On those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. The good news of Christmas is that sin, death, and the devil have been defeated because Jesus entered our world. But even though Satan has ultimately been defeated, he continues to wage war against the offspring of the woman, against those who trust in the Lord. And so in these verses, God is giving us three ways to protect ourselves against the attacks of the evil one. The first is by the blood of the Lamb. Or in other words, through faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. If our faith is in what God has done for us in sending his Son, and not in how well we've been living up to God's standards or in what other people think of us, then we have overcome the lies of the evil one. The second way that God gives us is by the word of their testimony. Or in other words, by the faithful witness to what Jesus has done for us. As Romans 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When our words and our actions match what we believe in our hearts, well, it confirms in us and through us the salvation that Jesus has achieved for us. And then thirdly, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Or in other words, the believers were not so comfortable in this life that they lost sight of what God had done for them, that they lost sight of the hope in him. We can do this too when we willingly put aside the things that distract us from our loving Savior, and when we hold loosely to the things of this life for the sake of his name. The good news of Christmas is that God will protect and keep those who trust in him. But we won't always be protected from suffering in this life. We won't always be kept from hardship. We will be kept as his for all eternity. We're protected if we trust in Jesus from the judgment that we deserve. As Jesus says in John 6, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Now, a lot of the imagery that we've been hearing in these verses, dragons and serpents and things like that, can be difficult to understand. But these are all images or word pictures. They're ways of pointing us to the greater reality, the salvation that God achieved in sending his Son, the hope of salvation in him, and the reality that because God has sent his Son, sin, death, and the devil has been defeated. So we've been looking at these verses. We've seen that Jesus' entry into the world triggered an epic spiritual battle in the heavenly realm. But because God is always faithful to his promises, he went into battle for us, destroying those three greatest enemies: sin, the sin in our own hearts, death, what will happen at the end of our lives, and the devil, the adversary. So that those who trust in Jesus may have life forever and certain hope in him. So as we head off to our celebrations later today, let's keep our eyes fixed on this good news, the good news of Christmas, that God has gone into battle for us, that Satan has been defeated, and that God will protect and keep all those who trust in his Son. And all this was made possible on a peaceful night in a quiet little town of Bethlehem as God's Son entered our world. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would help us to hold fast to the good news of Christmas, the good news that a Savior has been born, the good news that Satan has been defeated, and that you will protect and keep all those who trust in you. That our salvation is not up to us, that our salvation is based on what you have done, on the hope you have achieved, and on your Spirit keeping us and protecting us until the day you return. So, Lord, we pray that as we go about our celebrations today, help us to not lose sight of this hope. Help us to live in the light of us, Lord, holding loosely to the things of this life for the sake of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.